I grew up in a very godly home. My father actually embraced the hyper-Calvinist position, but he was a very godly man, and he spoke to us often about how the Holy Spirit works in the souls of sinners. And when I was 9 years old, I came under a period of 6 months of very deep conviction of sin, but it faded away. But when I was 14, I had a teacher, I went to a public school, put on the chalkboard, "There is no God," and he signed his name beneath it and said, "Give me 3 minutes, I'll prove to you there's no God. You can have the rest of the hour to challenge me." And he used traditional arguments, which I didn't know at that time. I stood up, and I was very shy at the time, extremely shy, and I never spoke in class, and I stood up and defended God. And he was quite astonished to see me be so open and bold, and because he knew me as a shy student. So he told me to sit down. I stood up, actually, when I said it. He told me to sit down, and he said he'd talk to me after class. I left class that day, and I was in a turmoil inside of me, because here I defended God in class, but I didn't know God personally myself. And that actually was the beginning of just a holy restlessness, that I was missing God. And some months later, I talked my parents into being able to go with my brother, my older brother, and a friend on a 4-week trip out west. And as we were coming back, I was trying to convince myself that God was real by looking at the mountains and nothing, but there was no connection. Then on a Saturday morning, we had to drive 700 miles that day from Yellowstone National Park to Iowa to get to one of our denominational churches. We promised my parents we'd do that. And we couldn't find the keys anywhere. We looked everywhere. We lifted up the sleeping bags and searched the tent. They were nowhere. So my brother and his friend went into the woods to find a stick to try to open the trunk of the car, the boot of the car, I guess you'd say, because that was the only place they could be. And I went inside the tent and fell on my face and just cried out to God. I kind of laid a Gideon's fleece in front of him, which I know you're not, I didn't know at that time you're not supposed to do. And I just said, "If you're the real and living God, please show me." And I was very earnest. And when I got off my knees, I felt something hard underneath my knees, and it was the keys. Now, that's a very small thing. But at that moment in my life, what happened was I became a lost sinner before God, because I just realized God is real, and I'm not ready to meet Him. And I cried out for mercy. I wept nearly the entire way home over my sins. I went to all my friends, told them all that I could not be friends with them until I found God. And I just hold myself up in my bedroom every night, just read the Bible from beginning to end over and over, and prayed and wept and searched for God. And it took about 18 months, and I was just a lost, lost sinner. I was really the sinner that was hanging over the pit of hell. And I was like a spider in the hands of God, and God just had to cut the thread, and I was doomed. There were times I couldn't even walk on grass because I thought God was going to swallow me up like Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And I saw in those months that there's nothing good that I could perform, that I had never not sinned for one second in my life, because I had never loved God above all. I never loved my neighbors myself. And the selfishness and the pride and the unbelief, it just overwhelmed me. So I thought God was fitting me to be a reprobate vessel for destruction. And then we finally got a minister in our church, and he came over to my family one day and to meet our family. My grandfather struggled a lot with assurance of faith, and he looked at my grandfather at one point in that meeting and said, "For you too, Mr. Venstreen, there's a possibility of a way of escape in Christ Jesus." Those were his exact words, and they were like penetrating my soul. And I went to bed that night, and I was just weeping with tears of joy, and my hands were like up to the heavens. I just was crying out to God and thanking Him that there was a way of salvation, even for me, even for reprobate me. And I was so full of joy. It's like the sins rolled off my back. And I went down at 3 o'clock in the morning. I got my dad out of bed and I said, "Dad, I've been saved. My sins are gone. And Christ is my all." And I saw that night the passive obedience that He bore for my sins, and the active obedience, that He obeyed the law for me, even though I didn't know those terms. I just saw the whole plan of salvation with clarity like I'd never seen before, and it was for me. And so that was the night, really, when I was saved. And then the very next day, though I was so shy, I just started going out in the neighborhood. I knocked on door after door to tell them about Jesus. And I just felt I had to be a kind of evangelist in the neighborhood until somebody stumped me and I realized I need to know more theology. But then about 6 months later, in a very powerful way, God called me very suddenly to the ministry. And so I was 15 at the time. And from that moment till today, I've never doubted my call for one second to the ministry. It was so real. But I just doubt myself, and I doubted my shyness, and I was overwhelmed by it. But the Lord's been very good to me, and though I still grieve over my indwelling sin a lot, He's made Christ increasingly precious to me all my life. And I can say, He has increased and I have decreased. I'm just nothing but a sinner saved by grace, and I just want to exalt my Savior.
Amen.